Dearly beloved in Christ, how often is it that we find ourselves looking back upon the week or the day spent, and we think, I could have done better at that? Whether it be work or play, whether it be at home or in the world, we can sometimes find ourselves examining and scrutinizing our thoughts, words, and actions. And this is a good thing most of the time. Many times it is essential to making a good examination of conscience. The examination of conscience is the means by which we arrive at a knowledge of self. And this self-knowledge is a difficult thing to accurately acquire. And there are a couple of main reasons why. First, because we really don't want to enter into ourselves and to scrutinize that unseen miniature world. And we care even less, proud as we are, to discover our faults. Secondly, because it takes great perseverance and a lot of serious reflection, we may feel that it is useless, or we just waste the time we allot to our examination of conscience, largely due to the dissipation of our minds to which we are naturally prone. But why is knowledge of self so important? Because you cannot fight an enemy if you don't know who or where they are. Yes, we are our own worst enemies. The world and the devil are also our enemies, but all spiritual writers will tell you that self, or flesh, as it is sometimes referred to, is our most dangerous opponent. First of all, as we know, a thorough examination of conscience is essential to making a good confession. The daily examine we ought to do is our chief means of attaining that knowledge of self. We must examine our thoughts, words, and actions before we go to confession and be truly sorry for any of our sins and resolved not to offend God again in those ways, and this we know. But also, at the end of every single day, we ought to examine our conscience so that when it comes time to go to confession, we will not struggle to recall our faults. So this self-scrutinizing throughout the day is good insofar as it helps those faults and failings and sins to stick in our minds, so to speak, so that we can confess them more thoroughly in confession. But secondly, it is a good thing to scrutinize our thoughts, words, and actions, because then in the future we will be less likely to make the same mistakes. One can learn from his mistakes, but it is totally useless to come to the realization that we have certain faults unless we actually avoid them and amend our ways. Here are a few examples. Let's say that someone has a problem with speaking out of turn or being disrespectful toward their superiors or toward those who are older than themselves in conversation. Then in the evening, that person reflects on what he said or the manner in which he said it, and he regrets it. In the future, that person will be more likely to avoid that fault or sin as it may be. Just to clarify, of course, speaking out of turn is not sinful, but it can be a cause of annoyance toward others, and so we should strive to avoid it. St. Paul, speaking of the meats that were offered to idols, said that there was no issue with Christians eating those meats as long as it was not symbolic of them apostatizing or offering false worship, but that if one were scandalized by the fact that he ate those meats, he would avoid it for the sake of his brethren. In other words, what might not be sinful per se can be scandalous or annoying toward others, and so should be avoided for their sake. Another example might be if someone has a particular habit that he doesn't realize is repulsive to others. It was said that St. Teresa of the Little Flower, I think it was, had to put up with something very annoying to her. One of her fellow sisters would often clack her rosary beads against the back of the pew, and this slight noise was enough to derail her from her mental prayer. Now, I remember the first time I heard that story, it struck me that we must be careful not to unduly burden those around us, even in the smallest way, if we can't avoid it. It can be very easy to render ourselves burdensome toward our fellow neighbors, and sometimes there is really nothing we can do about it, or we only realize it was annoying to them in retrospect. Not to say that these little faults are sinful, but we should avoid them it could become sinful if we deliberately tried to annoy someone who is very likely to become angry and to lose his temper. So at the end of the day, when we look back and say, yeah, I should have done that, or no, I should not have done that, or it makes me look bad when I do that, this is a good thing, as it shows that we are reflecting on our thoughts, words, and actions, and we form the resolution in our minds not to do those things again. Another reason that knowledge of self is important is so that we can effectively refrain ourselves from committing a fault beforehand. When we know our weaknesses and our usual pitfalls, it is much easier to avoid them. A point of weakness that is common, as we may know, is saying something when we should have kept our mouths shut. I can't tell you how many times I have been glad I didn't say something when I could have. Sometimes the best jokes seem to pop into your head at the wrong time, and a little prudence and forethought can go a long way in preventing an embarrassing moment, or even a spiritual disaster. Scripture tells us that if a man has never offended anyone with his tongue, then he is a perfect man, meaning that it is a highly difficult task to bridle our tongues and to mortify our speech. So we can see that by good examination of conscience, we can gain an accurate knowledge of self, which is so crucial to preventing falling into sin or even just annoying others. We can see that reflecting on our little faults and failings can be a good thing. It can train us to be a little introspective and to give us a starting point by which we begin to know ourselves. At the end of the day, we should consider what kind of sins and how many we have committed against Almighty God, if we have had the misfortune of falling into any, and make the resolve not to commit them again. If we have sinned mortally, we should make a perfect act of contrition, by which we tell God that we are sorry for having offended him because we love him. The simplest form of the perfect act of contrition is, "Oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee because I love thee." And our words must reflect our convictions. That is, we say the perfect act of contrition, but we must be truly sorry for our sins, specifically because they have offended God. Then, of course, we must receive sacramental absolution as soon as possible, for you know not the day nor the hour in which God will call you into eternity. The sacrament of penance is an especially helpful means of rooting out our faults and coming to a knowledge of self under the special guidance of the priest. We ought to take advantage of this great blessing. In the Gospel for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, we read that Christ said to his disciples, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." So let us examine our conscience as well, dear friends in Christ, in order to arrive at a knowledge of self. In this way, we will begin to conquer our faults and failings and grow more and more perfect in the sight of God. Let us use confession regularly and make the firm resolve not to offend God again. But most importantly, let us prove to Jesus Christ by our actions that we are truly sorry for our sins by amending our wayward habits. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.